Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Israel believes that it can get away with anything and everything. That the powerful Western states on which it depends for arms, for diplomatic, military support, aid, you name it, will allow it to do what it wants. And Israel is absolutely correct. That's the context behind Israel's slaughter of 7 aid workers, 3 of them British, another Australian, another Polish, and 2 dual national Palestinians. That is a Palestinian American and a Palestinian Canadian. Now, let me say, first of all, that this is yet another hideous atrocity. It's getting a lot more attention because the victims are Westerners. And of course, it's important to have their grieving loved ones in our thoughts. It's beyond imagination what they're going through. But we have to remember that so many Palestinians, tens of thousands, have been murdered by the Israeli state. And the vast majority of them receive no attention. They're often painful, terrified last moments, ignored forever. Palestinian blood is so cheap. It's practically treated as worthless. Israel's targeted killing of World Kitchen aid workers is instructive and should be seen against the backdrop of other atrocities committed this weekend, like the destruction of Al-Shifa Hospital and the bombing of Damascus. Let's talk over what we know about the World Central Kitchen massacre. Israel has sought to destroy the main aid agency in Gaza, which is UNRWA, via a smear campaign which is not justified by the evidence. And they have killed more UN staff members in the last 6 months than in any conflict in such a short period of time since the United Nations was founded amidst the rubble of World War II. Israel has killed around 200 aid workers since the 7th of October. They touted World Central Kitchen as an alternative, which, to be frank, whatever the incredible work, which no one can dispute, of volunteers, was never going to come close as an NGO to filling the vacuum of a vast UN aid agency. Now, you can see why Israel saw WCK as partners. Their founder, chef José Andrés, fiercely denounced a then Spanish government minister, Ione Belarra, on the 16th of October after she had condemned Israel for war crimes because of its massive bombings, she cited, cutting off water and electricity, and notably that it was refusing to let in humanitarian aid. Chef José Andrés responded that the minister had to accept Israel was defending its citizens before asking for restraint or respect for the lives of civilians in Gaza, and then smeared her by suggesting she supported Russia for some reason and Hamas, and demanded that the Spanish Prime Minister had her sacked. Now, I know he's going to be grieving today for his murdered staff, and thoughts should be with him on that basis. I would be interested to know if he has reflected on what he said, because that former Spanish minister was absolutely correct. As we know from the World Central Kitchen statement, these aid workers were killed despite travelling in a deconflicted zone. That is a zone officially deemed by the IDF as free of conflict. They were travelling in cars clearly branded with very large World Central Kitchen logos. They coordinated those movements with the IDF, and they were leaving a food warehouse where they had unloaded more than 100 tonnes of humanitarian food aid brought to Gaza on the maritime route. According to the New York Times analysis, the convoy was hit multiple times, with the northernmost and southernmost vehicles nearly a mile and a half apart. There is no question Israel is responsible, because they have admitted it. According to the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, at some point, as the convoy was driving along the approved route, the war room of the unit responsible for the security of the route ordered the drone operators to attack one of the cars with a missile. They reported some passengers were seen leaving the car and switching to one of the other two. I must say, we can only imagine the terror they were going through at that moment. They continued to drive, says Haaretz, and even notified the people responsible that they had been attacked, but seconds later, another missile hit their car. The third car then approached. As the passengers began to transfer to it the wounded survivors, a third missile struck them. At that point, all of them were killed. So the Israeli military authorities literally chased these aid workers with their drone from car to car until they were all lifeless, bloodied, mutilated, burned corpses. The justification for this attack. According to Haaretz, the war room of the unit responsible for securing the route identified an armed man on the truck and suspected he was a terrorist. They also say, according to defence sources, that armed man did not leave the warehouse. What are they saying here? They didn't even see him leave the warehouse, but they decided to slaughter an entire aid convoy just in case. Just to be clear here, even if this were true, and you cannot believe a single thing the Israeli authorities say, because they lie and they lie and they lie, just as they kill and they kill and they kill. You cannot justify wiping out a humanitarian convoy because you suspect an armed man might be present. And what evidence is there for this armed man being what they describe as a terrorist, rather than, say, security charged with protecting the convoy? That is, if this guy even exists, even on its own terms, just listen to this. Just listen to it. If this is how they justify slaughtering so many foreign aid workers in one go, working with an NGO approved by the IDF, who would presumably think, as foreign aid workers, particularly, for example, Three Britons, a state which has thrown everything at supporting Israel, its genocidal onslaught, they might have some degree of protection. Offering their coordinates on an approved route, in a deconflicted route, with the very war room, which then kills all of them. What hope for Palestinian civilians? What hope? These were already the guys who slaughtered three Israeli hostages, waving white flags, screaming they were hostages in Hebrew. What hope that a Palestinian civilian? Now you can see why tens of thousands of Palestinians are being slaughtered. How on earth can anyone listen to this deranged nonsense and not conclude that the Israeli onslaught on Gaza can be anything other than mass, indiscriminate murder, a targeted campaign? There are still some who try to gaslight us into believing this absolute monstrous deceit. What are the consequences already? What are the consequences? Aid agencies with around 240 tons of undelivered aid have just turned around. Several humanitarian aid agencies have suspended their operations in Gaza, including World Central Kitchen, including ANIRA, for example. Well, I bet you all those Israeli ministers and politicians and generals and media outlets who demanded the Palestinian people of Gaza suffered collective punishment, that they should be starved, forced to flee. I bet they're devastated, aren't they? I wonder what's going through the mind of Yoav Gallant, the defence minister in the war cabinet, who just after 7th of October said there would be a total siege on Gaza on the basis they were fighting human animals. I wonder what he's thinking. I bet he's devastated. The guy who just after 7th of October said in two separate statements he was lifting all restraints and all restrictions on Israeli soldiers. I bet he's rocking in the fetal position, weeping for those aid workers, isn't he? These people wanted to starve Gaza to death, and they're achieving it. And the consequences, knowing a famine caused entirely by Israel, is now sweeping Gaza, with even the British Foreign Secretary, David Cameron, blaming Israel for blocking aid from entering with every possible ruse they can come up with. Well, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? They've just slaughtered all these aid workers, and all these aid agencies are no longer safe to operate and therefore have put all of their work on hold. Well, it's going to lead to even more mass starvation, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. No aid agency can rationally believe they will ever be safe ever again operating in Gaza under Israeli military.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
How many people are going to risk their lives now? Let's be clear. I think they do this on purpose. Don't need to be a conspiracy theorist. You just have to accept there's a genocidal campaign against Gaza because the Israeli establishment keeps jumping up and down, loudly admitting to genocidal intent from the very beginning, which is why South Africa has hauled them through the International Court of Justice, which has put them on trial and has officially made it clear there is a plausible case against Israel for genocide and has issued twice now provisional orders ordering Israel to allow access to humanitarian aid in order to prevent genocide. How does that fit in with this? Murdering aid workers, along with every other measure that they've put in place to stop aid from getting in to ensure famine. And what does the British Foreign Secretary call for? Lord Cameron, the guy who wrecks this country and now thinks he's going to somehow rebuild his reputation by grandstanding on the foreign stage. What's he calling for, even after the state he has backed in its genocidal campaign, despite his hand-wringing, even when he knows British citizens have been killed? Oh, what does he say? He calls for the state responsible to investigate itself. Great idea, genius. Maybe in hindsight, we shouldn't have put serial killer Harold Shipman on trial. We should have just asked him to investigate himself. Sorry, quite white. A tasteless comparison. Israel has committed infinitely worse crimes than Harold Shipman. Maybe we could look back to what happened when Israel bombed medical aid for Palestinians. Let's just listen to the Tory MP, Alicia Kearns, the chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, in an interview back in January.
There's a UK charity called Medical Aid for Palestine. They've been delivering phenomenal matches on the ground. Yes, MAP, as well as bringing in British doctors. So on the 22nd of December, MAP told the UK Defence Forces, who then confirmed it with the Israeli Defence Forces, that they had this building in Al-Watasi, which is a safe zone. The Israelis have declared it a safe zone. And yet, despite having been told on the 22nd of December by the IDF via the UK Defence Attaché that it was a protected site, demarcated, the Israelis knew what it was and it was completely humanitarian in nature, on the 16th of January, it was bombed by an F-16 Israeli jet and there were four British doctors inside. Now, we are very lucky that they were hurt and not killed. But obviously, as you can imagine, MAP have now had to remove their operations. The IRC shared that site. So I've also been speaking to David Miliband about this, who's very concerned. Both MAP and the IRC are saying we cannot take any foreign doctors back into Gaza now. It is not safe because despite the IDF giving us reassurances that this site completely isolated, there are no neighbouring buildings around it. It's surrounded by sand, so there's no feasibility that there were tunnels underneath. Despite having confirmation it was demarcated, it was still bombed.
And did you, you know, did you bring this up with the IDF?
So I've raised this so far with our government, and I've said to Andrew Mitchell, the Deputy Foreign Secretary, what are we doing about this? I know it's been raised at the highest levels with the Israelis. The Israelis are saying, let us do an investigation. I think now is the time for the UK to be very clear. That part time has passed. The UN are meant to be doing an investigation. I'd like to see the results of that as well. But ultimately, it's very difficult to see how this can be justified in any way, sense or form. A safe zone, a demarcated humanitarian building, UK and US charities.
So that attack ended the presence of medical aid for Palestinians in Gaza. And over 2 months on, no answers from Israel on what happened there. Which brings me now to Al-Shifa Hospital. Go back to near the start of this horror. Do you remember October the 17th when Al-Shifa Hospital first attacked? Do you remember there was this big controversy about whether this was an Israeli strike or a misfired Islamic Jihad rocket? Why do I raise this now? Because what was the reason for that controversy? The reason it was so hotly disputed is because it was widely understood that attacking a hospital is a grave, grave crime. Only the worst monsters attack hospitals. That was the entire basis, wasn't it, of that controversy? Well, Israel has now just completely destroyed Al-Shifa Hospital. Since that controversy over the initial attack on the complex, it has attacked every single hospital and medical facility in Gaza, murdered countless medical staff, often their entire families and many of their loved ones, slaughtered patients, including premature babies who were born only knowing pain and suffering and hunger and violence before they were killed, their little fragile bodies left to rot. And after Israel besieged that hospital in November, claiming the main headquarters for Hamas was underneath it, the World Health Organization said that it had become a death zone. Mass graves were dug on the grounds of Al-Shifa Hospital. And yet a subsequent investigation by the Washington Post found all the pathetic excuses used by Israel to justify this murderous onslaught were nonsense, but yet the world's attention had moved on, and Israel counts on this every single time. They commit an atrocity, they wring their hands, they go, oh no, we'll investigate, and then they lie and they deflect and they muddy the waters, and then they wait for everyone to just move on and forget. And all those journalists and media outlets who fell for Israeli propaganda legitimised attacking hospitals. They did this. They were complicit in this genocidal onslaught. Attacking hospitals is a straightforward war crime, obviously. International law states if a hospital is stripped of protected status by being used for military purposes, then any attack on it has to be proportionate to the military advantage thus secured. For example, if its grounds are being used to fire missiles at you. Clearly not what happened at Al-Shifa Hospital, nor any of these other medical facilities, which have been razed to the ground in some cases. This weekend, after a two-week-long attack, Al-Shifa Hospital is in ruins, and every hospital and medical facility has been attacked, with no functioning health system left in Gaza. Israel claimed not a single civilian was injured as they destroyed Al-Shifa Hospital. What do you even say to these people? Where does that leave? Just one example. Dr. Ahmed Garda and his mother, both doctors, both executed by the IDF. The IDF left rotting, decomposing bodies strewn all over the place, many of them run over by tanks. You have to wonder why they did that. I would suggest, for the same reason, in the medieval era, heads were placed on spikes to provoke terror in the hearts of others. They claim this was a military onslaught against terrorists. Well, again, these people are liars. And again, always remember international law, as I've said. Any attack against a hospital is justified after losing protected status if it's proportionate to a military advantage gained. That does not mean reducing a hospital to ruins. The destruction of a medical system of an entire territory, by definition, is a genocidal act. No modern society functions without a healthcare system of some description. The absence of that alone imposes a death sentence every single day on countless people. The injured, the sick, pregnant women, newborn babies. We could go on. Think of everyone from cancer patients to people with serious heart conditions. They will die. Every single day, huge numbers of people, not in any official statistics, they're not dying violent deaths, they're people who would have lived, who are going to die in vast, vast numbers. And I haven't mentioned Israel bombing Iran's embassy in Damascus, a flagrant violation of international law. Terrorism. That's what that is. If another state did that. While Israel rushes through legislation to ban Al Jazeera, the behaviour of tin-pot dictatorships, so it can hide the atrocities it's committing on a mass scale, having already committed the biggest slaughter of journalists in any conflict ever recorded. And I've said it again. I've said it once and I'll say it again. You're watching the fall of the West. Western power has been in steep decline in the 21st century. That's glaringly apparent. Economic stagnation and decline, repeated military defeats, moral collapse from Iraq to Gaza. We're seeing the normalisation of what ordinarily would be regarded as some of the most extreme crimes imaginable. That will accelerate a general collapse into global disorder and chaos. The moral pretences of the West were already treated with contempt by much of the world. But the genocide of Gaza is an extinction-level event for Western power. What do you think is going to happen? How many people have seen things they will never unsee? How they've seen Western states arm, back, legitimise some of the worst atrocities of the 21st century? I don't think people have even begun to process the consequences, which I can absolutely assure you will be felt for generations. And those who cheered on and legitimised this crime of historic proportion, their moral authority has collapsed. And all of them, every single one, needs to be held to account. Please like and subscribe. Do leave your comments. Do share this video. And finally, I have been trying to raise money in support of a crowdfunder for a Palestinian man called Nahed, who is trying to leave Gaza with his family. His brother has already been killed. He's looking after his kids. Aid isn't getting into Gaza, so it's not like I can just help raise money for aid to get in for the reasons I've already described in this video. And I interviewed him months ago, and the least I said I could do was to help him and his family get out of Gaza. So I will leave the GoFundMe link in the description. Take care of yourselves. I'll speak to you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.